Welcome to the Study On podcast. I'm your host, Angie Bauman, and I am passionate about Bible study. Friend, my journey has not been an easy one. I am a trauma and abuse survivor, and I still walk with a limp. But I also walk in freedom, because as I've studied God's word, He has released me from layers of shame and invited me into a life filled with an abundance of His peace, joy, rest, and hope. I'm transformed because I study the Bible, and my heart's desire is to create offerings that help you get and stay in your Bible so you experience that transformation too. So thank you for spending a few minutes with me. Maybe it's as you enjoy your coffee or with pen and notebook ready, or you're driving to work or walking the dog from wherever you are in your day. Let's dive deep into a verse of scripture together. So we walk steady on. Let's get started. Welcome. Today we're going to talk about a living hope as we unpack 1 Peter 1:3 using my step-by-step Bible study method. Step-by-step is an inductive tool that focuses on one word in one verse of scripture to find life application. And if you'd like to study along with me today, and I hope that you will find links to a study sheet and the step-by-step masterclass in today's show notes. And Susie Crosby, my dear friend, is back with us today, and I'm always glad that you're here. I always look forward to studying with you, Susie. Thank you so much for coming again.
Thanks for having me, Angie.
It is my delight, my absolute delight. 1 Peter 1:3 in the NIV says this: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So about 1 Peter, it is a letter written to encourage the scattered Christians, easy for me to say, to maintain hope while suffering. The date of the writing is around AD 62, and the author is the Apostle Peter, the one that we learn about in the Gospels. Chapter 1 has 25 verses, and we are hanging out in the section that talks about giving thanks to the Father for His work of salvation. So one more time, 1 Peter 1:3 in the NIV. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So step one is to choose our word, and I will let Susie start us off.
Hey, our word is living, and the definition of living is having life, functioning, breathing. That's the verb. It's also, as an adjective, described as active or full of life or vivid. I love that one.
Living. Ooh, I love that word.
And then the opposite of living, of course, is dying, but also fading, absent, and extinct.
I don't like those things. For the definition I have found one used as an intensifier, which sounds to me like vivid. That goes together. Yeah. I just think of this like bright color where something just comes to life in a different way. And when you were talking about the antonyms being the opposites being fading, it reminds me of a podcast interview that I did some time ago with a couple who had both spent time in jail. They were Christians. They both spent time in prison because they had robbed a bank. And then he spent a long time in prison. She was let out earlier, but they stayed married. Anyway, one of the questions that I asked them was, what happened, right? When you got married and you had these children and you had a business and things started to go bad, and then all of a sudden you made this decision, like, how do you know now, all these years later, how you got there? And right away, the wife of the couple said to me, yeah, we eased God out. We eased God out of our life. And when you said faded, I thought of that conversation immediately, because sometimes, right, like our living hope in Christ Jesus can not be as vivid. It cannot be as intensified. And often that is because over a series of days that turns to weeks, that turns to months, that turns to years, somehow we have like eased him out, right? Mm.
A good way to describe what happens to a lot of people, I think. That is really sad.
Yeah, it is sad. But the good news is always that because it's a living hope, we're going to get to that in a minute. It's not corruptible. It's always present. It doesn't die. And so redemption and restoration is always possible. But Yeah, I thought of that immediately when you said fading. Then I thought that's the opposite of what we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. Yeah, getting to that place. So step two is investigate. We divide that up into four parts. Part one is to compare our word in other translations. In the Amplified, I found ever living. In the BRG, lively. The CEV, lives on. The GW, a confidence which is alive. ISV, immortal. Phillips, full of. The Message says, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for. The NLV, never dies. And the NLT, we live with great expectation. I loved that.
That was the first one I wrote.
We live with great expectation. Even when, right? Even when. I just, Susie and I, you and I were just talking about something the other day, and I have this situation in my life right now that it's not going the way that I wanted it to, and I don't know what's going to happen. But the thing that I know is whatever God is going to do, it's going to be good for me. Like, I really do believe that. And that doesn't mean that we're always excited about where we are, because sometimes it's not fun for whatever reason, right? But when we praise be to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? Like this verse, when we focus on praise and thanksgiving and remembering his faithfulness, we can say, I live with great expectation, even though I'm in this place right now that kind of isn't all that fun.
I have a quote on my bathroom wall that I look at often, and it's by Stacey Eldridge, who's an author that I like. And she says, there's more to it, but I'll just sum up the main thing I read when I need to remember this, is that our life of faith is uncertain, but we can be expectant of good.
Mm.
We can be expectant of good because we can be certain of God. We can be certain of him.
And the thing that gets us down, I think this is true for me, is when it's not good the way that I envisioned good.
Exactly.
And so then I think, well, it's not good because good looked like this. And as long as I've been doing this, it still takes me a while sometimes to be like, oh, no, it is good. It just isn't good the way that. And that doesn't mean everything that happens to us is good. But if we believe in this hope, if we claim and live into, lean into this hope, then there is good in even the most ungood things that happen to us.
Because God is good.
Because God.
And that is our kind of overarching hope, even
right.
In the stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Part two is to research the original word. Help us out with that, Susie.
Okay, well, in the Strong's Concordance, it is the Greek word, Greek 2198, and it is zao, to live, to be alive, to be quick and lively. The Vine's Expository Dictionary says the hope of resurrection, and another a definition that I found in the outline of biblical usage is to be fresh, strong, or efficient. I love that.
Fresh, strong, too.
Efficient.
Fresh and efficient doesn't really seem like they go together. And yet it talks about like an energy, right? Those three things, like, you know, if we have fresh energy, renewed energy, then we can be more efficient, even with like, certainly with our productivity, but even with our thinking. I don't know about you. Sometimes my thinking gets cloudy. And that's when I feel something doesn't have the hope that it really does have, because I'm just like swirling in the mud of my mind. How about that for a word picture? Angie is swirling in the mud of her mind. Part three is to look at some commentary. I found this in the Enduring Word. We are born again to a living hope because we have eternal life and a Savior who has conquered death himself. The hope lives because it is set upon an inheritance incorruptible that can never fade away because it is reserved in heaven. This is a significant contrast to any inheritance on this earth. I happen to absolutely love the word incorruptible because there is a certainty to it that just, it's like defiant. Like, it doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what you try to pour on it. It's not going to, you know, it can't. Like, it's just absolutely, it refuses to yield to anything of the world. And there's something in that that just feels very solid, dare I say steady, and it's just filled with hope for me, because that's what I want. And so I love this idea. And it really is, it's not in the things of the earth. It is our inheritance that is reserved in heaven. And so often, somehow we like never get there with our stuff. Like, we're trying to work it out in our own mind and in our own strength. And there's such a promise of like this, how if you play it out all the way, the victory is already decided.
We already know the ending, right? I found that Peter used the word living 6 times in this letter, and I'm not sure, you know, the other usages, but I think he really wanted us to be sure and certain and know that this was real. It's not, like you said, it's not like what the world gives. It's not corruptible.
And he's, as we said at the beginning, he's writing to Christians who are suffering. So he wants them to be like, hey, hang on to this, right? Yeah. Look at the thing that isn't going to go away. Look at the thing that isn't going to perish and isn't corruptible. Charles Spurgeon, I want to read this just because I love his words around this. Charles Spurgeon says, other hopes fade like withering flowers. The hopes of the rich, the boasts of the proud, all these will die out as a candle when it flickers in the socket. The hope of the greatest monarch has been crushed before our eyes. He set up the standard of victory too soon, and it has been trailed in the mire. That made me pause. He set up the standard of victory too soon, right? That to me, I'm like, that he decided what was victorious prematurely, and then he got his hopes dashed because that's not what happened. Ouch and ouch and ouch. There is no unwaning hope beneath the changeful moon. The only imperishable hope is that which climbs above the stars and fixes itself upon the throne of God and the person of Jesus Christ. Anyway, I just had to share that by Charles Spurgeon because all those words were just so lovely.
That's really a beautiful image to think about your hope being above the universe, really. Like, yeah. There's hope in this life for sure, but the real everlasting living hope is beyond that. It's the throne of God.
Yeah.
That's really a beautiful image.
And it can't be touched by the things of the world. It can't be touched. No. Charles Big says, hope is living, not merely because it is active, nor merely because it is a hope of life, but because it is divine and eternal, given through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and bound up with his eternal life. Like, it can't be untwisted from his, right? So it's like, because his life is eternal and hope is in his life, then hope is eternal. Like, hope is just something that we can hang on to. It is alive. Faith Life Study Bible says, this rebirth is accomplished by Jesus' resurrection from the dead and serves as the Christian reason for hope. Which I like. I thought that was interesting. That's like an adjective, right? The Christian reason for hope. That's different than other, right? Certainty, and that is certainty of future salvation. Once dead in their sins, Christians now live with assured hope of their own resurrection. One more. The Bible Knowledge Commentary says, the Christian's assurance in Christ is as certain and sure as the fact that Christ is alive. Here, living means that the believer's hope is sure, certain, and real, as opposed to the deceptive, empty, false hope the world offers. And that stood out to me because I thought that this assurance is as certain and sure as the fact that Christ is alive. And almost it called me to when I'm doubting something or not hopeful about something in Christ, then how much am I really believing the things that he's telling me, even as much as like the resurrection, like I'm alive. So hope is alive. It's bound up in me. And so if you're like, you've eased me out, you know, of this presence in your heart where you're just so sure that I am who I say I am. I do what I say I do, that I'm for you, that I'm good to you. Oh yeah. So don't ease that out.
Yeah. That's a good word for sure.
Part 4 is rewrite, and so I'm going to read this one more time. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Okay, how did you rewrite that, my friend?
I wrote, woohoo! Mother God, you have been so, so good to me. Thank you for inviting me into your family forever because of what Jesus did for me. Thank you for hope that breathes life into me every day.
Hope that breathes life. I love that. Sometimes that's exactly what I need to do, is just breathe and breathe in the right thing. You know, it's like when you go outside sometimes and you just need a breath of fresh air. I just need to breathe in that air. But this is like an emotional thing, right? Where you just need to breathe in the spiritual truth. There's so much noise in our world. There's so many voices that tell us to listen to something or to evaluate ourselves against something other than what he says, right? And sometimes we just need to breathe in. You said fresh. That was one of the words from really early, right? Breathe in that fresh spiritual air, if you will, and that life that is hope and even patience with it. I can't find the right word. That's why I'm pausing. Like, it's the hope, but it's also just this like peace that can come when you're like, I don't have to have this figured out right now. And I think so often, I think I have to have this figured out right now. I'm going to bang my pencil on my desk right now. That's what I feel like. And it makes me crazy. And then I think you can step outside metaphorically, breathe in that spiritual life, that spiritual breath, and say, oh, actually, no, I need to remember that you're working this out in ways I cannot see.
And maybe look up and imagine that hope is sometimes, you know, a little bit higher than we can see right now.
For sure. For sure. That's good. That's good. Step three is define the characteristics of God. I put incorruptible because, as I just said, I absolutely love that word. His goodness and faithfulness and kindness don't fade. They don't decay. They don't tarnish. And I just love knowing that and remembering that. One of the songs, this will date me, but Watermark with Christy Knuckles, her husband is Nathan, I think, a Christian band from the 90s that was really popular. They have a song called Incorruptible. And there are times when I just go back and I listen to that song, you know, on replay for just a little bit, because I'm just like, remember, remember, remember. I also put strength. When I feel weak, it's likely because I'm placing my hope in this world and it is letting me down. But I can be renewed. Step outside. When I shift my focus, lift my eyes, you just said that, and claim my hope in him who never lets me down. And then one more thing I put pure, that God is pure. Things of the world are corruptible because they contain our self-interest and willingness to compromise. What God offers us is pure, untainted, no hidden agenda.
Oh, I like that.
That's important to me sometimes, because when we do find our hope in something else, a lot of times what the something else is offered to us because it benefits someone else. Am I saying right? And so, and there's like this, it's like sort of twisted or something, but that's right. Not who God is.
It's like not pure motives, but God's are always pure.
Yes. And I'm so grateful for that truth. Step four is to identify the lie of the enemy. What stands out to you as something to be aware of as we're studying?
One of the things that I sometimes find myself believing is that hope is just wishful thinking.
Yeah.
Just something I've created in my mind. It's not, it's just what I wish would happen, but probably not going to, or something like that. And that it's just stagnant, or just like it just kind of sits there in me. But obviously this idea of it living is so opposite of that, of it being alive and efficient and fresh and vivid. All those things are so opposite of just the kind of empty, stagnant, my own wishful thinking, I guess, or the positive thinking that isn't based on anything.
When you're talking, I'm making a note here, because you were the vivid and the fresh and all that. I got this idea too, that it's like uniquely crafted for what we need. Like, you know, when you go somewhere and there's you're looking for a shirt or something, whatever, and it says one size fits all. What the chances that that's going to look very flattering, right? Like, is probably fairly small. I mean, let's just be real, right? One size fits all isn't going to be the best choice a lot of times. This is not a one size fits all hope. It is. Because it is this incorruptible, massive hope, but it because it's alive, it's like, but it will take different form. Am I saying this right? Like, it'll take different form for your, like, both of us, even today, as we sit here recording, have different specific issues in our life that we need to believe in this living, alive hope. And the hope that the form that that hope came into my life in the previous circumstance or yesterday is different than the way it's showing up today. And it's different for me and you, even as we sit here today. And that's one of the things that I think this living means, right? Like, it's new. It's like the mercies are new every morning. The hope is new because it doesn't run out, but also it meets you with where you are.
Maybe that's what it means by efficient.
Ooh.
Oh, yes. In the biblical definition, fresh, strong, and efficient. Maybe that's what it means, is that it's fresh and new to what we need. It's strong because it meets us in our weaker places, and it's efficient to the situation. It's going to,
I love this,
us or help us with exactly where we're stuck. I like that.
I do too. It, like, nothing is wasted. Like, this hope isn't, well, yeah. Even because we don't, he's like, I'm not even going to give you stuff you don't need with it. Like, I, you know, you don't even have to trim it down, tailor it, take out the, you know, whatever. You just, this is the hope that you need for this situation. Ooh, that's just like coming to life even in a new way as we're wrapping this up.
Yes.
I love it. Okay, well, step five is called So What? And it's where we write a key takeaway. I like this. One size does fit all and doesn't fit all. Like, that's just popped into my mind right now, right? Like, it's not, it is, this hope is for everyone. There's no favoritism. So that's not, so in that way, it is for everyone. However, it's uniquely tailored and efficiently designed for the place and the way that we need it in this moment, in this day. And that's not my, that wasn't my original takeaway, but it is, it's my takeaway now, because that's just really sitting. That's what makes it vivid. That's what makes it fresh, right? That's what makes it some of those words that we liked so much at the beginning. Yeah. Yeah. How about you? A takeaway?
Well, mine's from the baseball world, which you and I both know well.
I love the baseball world.
Okay. So I was thinking about when a ball, in a baseball game, a ball is live, right? It's been hit. It's in play. It's where everybody's focusing. It's the thing that matters, where the ball is, if someone catches it or not, if it's thrown to the right place in time, all those things. The live ball matters. So if our hope is live, our hope is living, it's the live ball, it's in play, then it matters. It counts. It makes a difference. It's pretty much where we should be focusing all the time, eyes on the ball. And so I guess if we think of it that way, our hope is real. It is sure. It is, it has breath. It has power. It affects our lives. It matters. It's live.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And the eye on the ball thing is so good, because I will say, when I used to think, well, where else would they be looking? But then when I had boys who were playing ball, because I'm not an athlete, I didn't play ball, you know, so, but I always heard people like, just keep your eye on the ball, keep your eye on the ball. And I'm like, well, where else? But then you're like, oh, they're looking all over the place. Like,
when they're younger, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And so then that's the thing, like, you're much more likely to hit it, catch it, you know, throw it to the right place, whatever. If you are aware of where the ball is, and where it needs to go next, and all that, and just in that same way as it is alive in a game. So this hope, it can be the thing that we're focused on, you know?
Like, and the ball that we hit is the one that matters. There's maybe like a box of balls sitting in the dugout that don't matter, the one that's live, that's living, that's active, that's in the game right now is the one that matters. That's the kind of hope we have. That's the difference.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. So good. And I think for me, the thing too that I have to remember is, and when I have eased him out, when I am focused on the balls in the bin, you know, that are the side or whatever, then because his mercies are new, because his hope is alive, all I need to do is be mindful of the fact that I've not been keeping my eyes on the ball and focus on it again. And it's just, it's mine and it's as ever present as it ever was. Yeah, I love that. Well, we would love to hear your takeaway. As always, you can email me anytime with questions, takeaways, thoughts. If you have complaints, email Susie. I'll drop her. No, I'm just kidding. You can email me. Yeah, you can email me anytime at studyonpodcast@gmail.com. If you have not, I would be grateful if you would subscribe to the podcast on whatever directory you use to listen. If someone happened to come to mind today as you were listening, I would love it if you would share the episode with them. Sharing it, subscribing, those things are free to do and they help the show a great deal. So thank you for the times that you have done that. And thank you for the times that you have been here, Susie, and for joining me again today.
Loved it.
I love it too. Keep your eye on the ball, friend. Thank you so much for listening. I pray wherever your day takes you, you're walking in the confident knowledge that you are a beloved, cherished child of God.